This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good morning, and once again, welcome to Guardian Radio in AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'd like to say happy International Women's Day, which is actually Wednesday, but I'm celebrating an entire week. However, before I start that, because I'm going to start that celebration starting tomorrow, where I'll be having some distinguished women in the Bahamas come on, and I'll be interviewing on how they became successful in their journey in general. I'm going to talk today about the Bahamas and some quotes I saw in the newspaper when I said, "Hey, Aaron, did you see this?" And of course, Aaron has taken notes, right? And I said, "Aaron, I need to come on my show so we can analyze it." So today's theme would be the creation of a plantation. And this concept is very Aaron-esque because she always talks about plantation, this plantation, plantocracy?
Yeah.
Plantocracy that we live in as the Bahamas. So to start this conversation, I noticed a headline by the Minister of Immigration, Keith Bell, who is lamenting the fact that we have a labor shortage, also with a reluctance of Nassauians to move to the family island to work. So I'm going to read that, and that's where the conversation is going to start about, right? Exactly. Whose tourism is this anyway? The building of the Bahamian economy? And are we building a society excluding Bahamians? And that is the conversation I'm going to be testing Aaron on, right? So let me read this from this article. Say, firms lament Bahamians don't want family island jobs, says Bell. Labor shortages, along with the reluctance of Nassauians to move to the family island to work, has led the Department of Labor to consider issuing work permits to fill jobs on those islands. Minister of Labor and Immigration Keith Bell said yesterday. Bell, who made the remarks during an appearance on Morning Blend, which is our show, on Guardian Radio 96.9, explained that he is currently in discussions with several business owners who have tried to hire local labor for projects on the Family Islands, and I'm assuming that's construction jobs, and have had a hard time getting those laborers to complete their time with the projects. He said those businesses, while having a hard time finding local laborers who would stay in the Family Island for the life of their projects, are also being denied work permits to bring in labor to make up the shortfall. Right? There is obviously, this is a quote, not a direct quote, there is obviously a very, very significant labor shortage in the country. I did not know this, said Bell. And I've said this on a number of occasions where right now we have major developments going on throughout the Family Islands. A major challenge remains a lot of Bahamians are Nassau-centric. We have major companies which have come to me and... Go ahead. You want to pause that?
Yeah. First of all, go ahead. The first quote, when he didn't say, "I did not know that."
No, I said I did.
Good, because I have a feeling he knew that.
No. That's me. I got so overwhelmed that I had to say I made a commentary. I didn't know that.
The part of this is when he said that the people are Nassau-centric. A lot of Bahamians are Nassau-centric.
Yes.
Let me rephrase that for the good sir. Because I want to say congratulations to Taylor Rose Sawyer, that Sawyer boy's daughter from Hot Night, Star FM.
Okay.
She won the spelling bee.
Nice.
And I think the minister doesn't know how to spell. He doesn't know how to spell. The government is Nassau-centric. Oh, all of the services, benefits, and amenities revolve around Nassau.
Look how you're trying to know this.
He gives the impression that people just love Upper Nassau and all these family islanders in Nassau because they just love Upper Nassau as opposed to the fact that you could barely afford feminine hygiene protection on a family island.
I see you stick a pin into
okay,
it.
Yeah,
and
sorry,
I want you. No. I'm going to pause there. I didn't get to finish that. I can pause there.
Yeah.
Let's analyze that. You made the comment that the politicians, our politics is also Nassau-centric. And when the minister suggests that Bahamians are too Nassau-centric and this is causing a problem, he's being disingenuous?
Yeah. I would... they're on the edge of he's being dishonest. Right on the edge of it.
This edge.
Yeah, and I can say he's being disingenuous. The people have become Nassau-centric because they've been forced to become Nassau-centric because the government is Nassau-centric. The public service is Nassau-centric. All the businesses are Nassau-centric. In fact, it appears as if there is an unspoken policy to drive, to starve people out of the Family Islands and into New Providence. So imagine you talking to people, a significant portion of which could be Family Islanders that were forced to move to Nassau because of economics, because of housing, because of healthcare issues, because of education issues, because of a lack of access to water issues. And you're going to suggest that the problem is the people are Nassau-centric?
And I smile at that, right? But I want to analyze it further.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the idea that the minister has brought this up, and I have one or two more quotes I wanted to read into the record, so the Bahamian people who didn't read the newspaper can appreciate what is happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Overtures have been made to the minister. Mm-hmm. He's speaking from him, say they contacted him, right? Not necessarily the ministry. Or you said both at the same time, right?
Yeah.
They contacted him to say that there's a labor shortage in the Bahamas. I did not know that there is a labor shortage in the Bahamas to the point that we need to hire immigrants and foreigners. Is that the case? Do you know that is that has been stated? There is a general across-the-board labor shortage.
Before this article here, I had not heard any government actor say that out loud in the public. In fact, I don't know, I may have heard whisperings of it in private, but this is the first time I've heard a government actor say that out loud.
And
despite the fact that I've been saying it for months and months.
And I put this on record again.
Yeah.
Besides the Attorney General, besides the Fred Mitchell, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and I now join in to Keith Bell as being one of the most honest, one for NIB. Who was that?
LaRota
tends to be one of the most honest politicians we have.
Of
this administration. They give nuggets. They reveal things that Bahamian people tend not to know. Now we are officially here. There is a starking, across the board, labor shortage.
Mm-hmm.
I might be inferring all of this and just being emotional words for commentary's sake. But there is a labor shortage in the Bahamas. And this labor shortage is causing businesses, firms they call, to now have an increase in applications to have general labor, to import general labor to do basic work, right? And I saying that, I'm baiting you, right? Before we discuss that, the immigration problem that we have in the Bahamas is because we have a labor shortage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because we have a labor shortage, we now facilitate immigrants, and by extension, illegal immigrants, to come in the Bahamas to fulfill these roles. Let's talk about Abaco for a bit. There is a labor shortage in Abaco. Those labor that we have here are living in shanty towns, right? They provide skill set and limited skill set for these big firms that are being constructed. We're saying that these businesses are lamenting the government, pressuring government to say that there aren't enough Bahamians to do the job. In fact, the Bahamians that we do have are unskilled and unqualified to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, we will be important in asking you to help us help our businesses to survive. And without that, we will collapse.
The quote from the minister, Keith Bell, minister responsible for labor and immigration, when he appeared on Morning Blend last week, quote, I have someone meeting me in my office under the very same predicament. They say, Minister, we have asked, we have advertised, we have hired this certain number of persons. We have hired Bahamians. They have all gone back to Nassau. Minister, this is the number of persons we have applied for. We can't get them. You have refused work permits for our company. We are about to close down. We are about to collapse.
Is that a threat?
We have invested so much on the ground, we now need to bring it to fruition. And we are here pleading with you to grant work permits. We have satisfied all of the requirements, so please help us. Close quotations. Bell said sometimes the problem is that some of the available labor does not have the adequate training or education to fill the role. He added that the government is hoping to solve this problem through the many programs available at BTVI and NTA National Training Agency.
I want you to pause there.
Yeah.
I guess he didn't understand that we don't want to go to the family islands. We want to work in Nassau. And hold on, I know you're eager to respond, right? The government give concessions to businesses to go on the family islands and to open up businesses in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the government hasn't yet to give any concessions to Bahamians to move back to the family islands. Why a person like me, a professional in tourism, 2-3 degrees, right? Right? Why would I want to abandon my house, abandon my family, move to a place like Eleuthera? We don't have a movie theater. Things, luxuries that I am accustomed to.
They got
to.
Movie theater in Eleuthera.
Do you have IMAX?
No, I mean,
I see, it's a quality I want. I can
max out the seat.
It's a quality I want. See, when you get to a particular level of living and style, I must demand things for my quality and my expertise.
Which
right?
you've become accustomed
what
to.
I've become accustomed to. And is these jobs prepared to pay me extra money? Hardship living, right? Where my child would need to go to a private school.
Right.
My child would need to have access to recreation activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that these, when you hear the minister saying that, we need to consider bringing in or granting work permits to these foreigners, right? To make sure that these investors have a easier lifetime here in the Bahamas. I question you, Aaron. Who's Bahamas is this? Are they creating jobs for immigrants, foreigners to come into the Bahamas and not necessarily Bahamians, because now they're saying the Bahamians don't want the job and are unqualified? Or are they creating businesses for the foreigners where they say no Bahamians can come and do the same thing, right? So it's a concern on what type of plantation we are creating. And I'm saying that we are creating a plantation where the Bahamian does not necessarily benefit because the jobs they're creating we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why we're not moving to the family, because we don't want that. We're telling our politicians we don't want that. So why facilitate that? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are facilitating it. And now these people are saying that, these foreign investors, who I appreciate now, are saying that Bahamians aren't interested. Therefore, we need to give these opportunities to foreigners. And where does it stop? Does it stop just for the construction jobs? Or does it stop to the labor jobs in these firms, or even the mid-management jobs to these firms, and you find that the family islands will be permeated by a foreign culture,
mm-hmm.
or foreign cultures of people who say, man, these jobs are not created for Bahamians, but they are created for us because the Bahamians don't want it. That is a concern.
Yeah.
There needs to be an evaluation on what type of jobs are being created and who are they creating right. these jobs for.
I was just about to say, let's go to the caller, and then after the caller, we'll come back to in defense of the Bahamian worker.
In defense of the Bahamian worker.
Right, we'll respond in defense of
go
Bahamian
ahead,
worker.
Caller. Caller,
hi, can you hear me? Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Good evening or good afternoon to the other lady.
Good day.
Yeah, what I see going on in the family islands, and I believe it's intentional. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
you're
loud here, clear.
Yes, because most of the family islanders own a lot of land, but it's generation. So what I believe the government first need to do is have those persons get those generation land sorted out. Because government have a system where the government and private entities can take your land on those islands for quote-unquote development. And oftentimes it's these foreign direct investment. And so if we continue in this trajectory, 20 years from now, the land that was once owned by Bahamians or islanders will now be owned by the foreigners. And I believe it's intentional to get the people off those family islands so the government could take possession of the people's land and now turn it into foreign direct investment so they could also have partnership in this initiative on investment. That's just my view. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Man, that's scary. And as a conspiracy theory, I think that gentleman's saying, but I'm on this point, there has been leaders, prime ministers who have said point blank that the storm has come and you need to abandon your ancestral home and move to the province.
The irony of it is that they were all in opposition.
Yes.
And they were all leaders of the opposition. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it even scarier.
Yes.
You would imagine that that's what they're saying. In opposition, right? But generally, governments have gone to what I call the sort of centralization or urbanization policy, where there's a large population spread out over large landmass, right? But little pockets of people. It costs too much money to send services all over the place. So they try to draw people into central places, right? To urban centers, to make the provision of government service easier on the government. And that's been happening for, I mean, how long China been open again? For at least 100 years, right? It's been happening. In defense of the Bahamian worker, right? In this article, the minister says, look, the employers are telling us Bahamians don't want to go to the family islands to work. Like you said, and I can reiterate it, if you pay civil servants hardship pay, if that's a part of their contract, you recognize that you got that the quality of life is lesser there compared to New Providence, and you got to compensate them extra to be out there. Well, what do you think about Bahamians you're trying to incentivize to go to the family island? What do you all think? I was working in Andres in 2003. I mean, the most beautiful place ever, the best life ever, except for one thing. They only had 6 internet lines for the whole of North Andres. 6. And 2 of them we weren't even technically supposed to have access to. Somebody sneaked me a wipe. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you all think that people should just 20 years ago, you all thought that people should live with 4 internet lines going into North Andres? This plantation thinking is very problematic. You will incentivize the foreign direct investor, but not the Bahamian.
It's a concern. So imagine you import a workforce of 100 young men, right? Whatever problems they have from New Providence, and put them on the family island for an elongated period of time. Let's call it 3 months, 4 months, without their family, without their girlfriends, their loved ones, right? And you give them just average salaries to work, right? Yeah. After they get their paycheck, they're going home and they ain't coming back.
And even,
because this is no benefit for them. There's no recreation, nothing for them to do.
What are the working and living conditions, right, for them? Let's look at... With that distance from the center and from central government, what are the breaches, the employment breaches that are taking place that may convince people it's not worth it? We hear the story about the people in Abaco who weren't paid for 3 months.
And they didn't get their money yet.
And they'd be noticed.
They didn't
Nobody noticed the terms of the contract were breached. Mm-hmm. Were the terms of the contract breached? And if people were it couldn't be, because you couldn't hire me and then not tell me that, oh, you're not going to get paid for the first 6 months. Mm-hmm. You couldn't hire me and not tell me that, right? So are they being overworked? Are they being made to work beyond the terms of the Employment Act? Are they not being paid overtime? Then what are the living conditions? Are they living in dorms? Do they have any privacy? Do they have private bathroom access? Are they being forced to shower with other men?
So you're speaking about conditions.
Yeah, it's about the living and working conditions.
You are saying that there are people in the Caribbean and around the world who don't care about the living conditions. They are prepared to work for less money and in harsher conditions. And they have foreign investors who knows this and are prepared to import these such people, and because they are more conducive to work on their project in contrast to Bahamians.
Well, I wouldn't say this, but I'll say this, that I'm certain that foreign direct investors sit and think about these things. I'm certain that there have been conversations have taken place between foreign direct investors and the government about the cost of labor.
They should be expensive.
And the desire to bring in our own construction teams that work at lower costs, right?
Mm-hmm. Who they can put 20 in a room.
Right. These working and living conditions may drive what y'all call in a bad attitude towards work on the family island in the absence of advocates to protect the Bahamian worker?
Well, clearly in Abaco there was no advocate, because 3 months went by and Bahamians weren't paid. Nobody caught it in time.
Well, this is the problem with centralized government, because the director of labor should concern him or herself about that. But and even if they're stuck in New Providence, there should be a way to concern themselves about that. This Nassau-centricness is problematic.
Let's go to the phone calls again. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Hello. Wow. Yes. Tell me something. First of all, right, before I get to my point, you guys should really be more considerate with your callers, because the callers also make the show as well, right? I've been on hold for 4 minutes listening to your points, right? And you got to realize most people calling
other than Sparky, those are on cellular phones. And the only thing I was calling to say is that people are not are motivated to go to the family islands to work for these contractors, because if you can make $18 or $15 an hour on in the city, if you go on the island.
Hello?
Don't give it a second. Their audience, we're going to give. Oh, boy.
I hope he didn't waste his minutes. He might have texted me. I might have given him back some minutes so he can call back. Right? But go on to the next caller. To both callers. So perhaps we are talking too long, but we'll engage them. We'll be sooner. But my, if you get the caller call back, pass the caller through again. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Speaking on the work condition. So I worked in the United States for quite some time now. I work in construction industry. Mm-hmm. And when I came home, the level of condition and the appreciation that I get and the foreigners get over me, it make me don't want to work here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Carl.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I don't understand how these foreigners, I'm in project management. I don't understand how they would get work permit, all the benefits over me, and I'm a bohemian, yet make less money than them. And but worse treatment. That's all I have to say.
I appreciate it, caller. But Aaron, reading Keith Bell's response, he said they wouldn't be treating more behemoths. Clearly, we and he mentioned that a number of us are unqualified for the jobs, especially for these demands that these foreign entities have. They say, well, we need qualified workers, therefore, skilled workers, therefore, we need to import. I can understand importing skilled workers, you know. I don't think any Bahamian is concerned about the importation of skilled workers. It's the semi-skilled workers that they have concern. And when you see that a number of the family island projects are filled with semi-skilled immigrants who don't even have citizenship or work permit or anything, there is a concern. Then have that juxtaposed with the narrative that there are firms who are complaining that there are not enough Bahamian workers, that the people who are applying are Nassau-centric, but that these people are busy during Nassau jobs and not prepared to come to the family islands to work, where they are making less money, then one would understand or appreciate that the government needs to intervene and then to explain what are these projects for. These projects are for Bahamians, right? You provide the jobs are for Bahamians. That's why they're here. It's going to be a mutual benefit. But it seems as if it's no longer a mutual benefit. It seems that all the benefit is going to the investor. They want the incentive, the concessions, and they now want to have their private labor force where they can dictate to. And I am concerned about that. Let's pass the caller through, and I want you to respond to that. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Nui. Good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning.
I got a joke for you. Hey, C.A. Nui.
Yeah, man, right here.
Aaron is my sister and stay off her back, all right? She's correct, all right?
Yes.
So, you know, I love what you're saying, too. I appreciate what you're saying, really and truly, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of the callers. And so, even I'm upset about the generational land not being monetized by the Bahamian farmers that already own it. So, of course, we know land is money, even in the carbon credit paradigm, right, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
But here's what's troubling for me, right? The foreign investors, right? You know, one would be naive, don't conceive that they would always run a narrative that suits them. Bahamians are lazy, they don't want to work on the island, whatever narrative you're running. It's incentive. The same way people incentivize them to come here, like the gentleman called us now, they get the perks, they get whatever, right? And so let's bear in mind that what they're really calling public-private partnership is puppetized public-private partnership. I add an extra P on there.
Mm-hmm.
I think different. That's just the way it is. I that one over. Now, so let's see. Why can't we, because of the numerology problem with the Haitians, why can't we look to another demographic or nationality to supply labor? We already have a problem with the number of Haitians in the country, so maybe we should look for another demographics to come in and help with the labor problem. That's just what it is. And so obviously there's someone in the status quo, right, who's pushing for migrant labor and migrant influx because, you know, Aaron, they're even partial as far as preaching the gospel, all right? Because they was in the inner city, they walk in the yard, the front of the yard city, looking for people who speak in Creole, they preaching the Bible. And I said, but wait. So I wonder why I said, why would you think that everybody in the inner city speaks Creole? So if you guys don't wake up, everything cool, but I got a joke for you, C.A. Nuri.
Go ahead.
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Let C.A. Nuri know how rare sugar bananas are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bless up. Give thanks.
Blessings. Never. Okay. Go to the next caller and then go to you, Aaron. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, how you doing?
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I mean...
turn on your radio. Turn on your radio.
Yeah, you got me now?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, they complain, but they need foreign workers sitting over here and everything and all that. But that ain't no true. See, back in the day, I just wanted to bring this along. I'm no one, you know what I mean? Back in the day, when I was a professional tailor, I laid out some, but now I'm in the hotel now. But what happened is that I went to the firm. The Ministry of Labor sent me down to this firm to apply for this talent job. Right? They needed that to talent behemoths.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there for the interview and everything and all that. Never get called back. You know what's happened? They don't call. They interview, you know. The foreigners will interview you. But then they'll go back and say, yeah, this money, he never been there, he never came, or this and that, or they look like they're interested. So what they do, they make the people them think that the behemoths don't want to work. You understand where I come from?
Mm-hmm.
But yet they trying to get their people in.
Mm-hmm.
When they get back to them, they say, yeah, they can't find the behemoths, this and that and all that. But that all this is a bunch of lies. You understand where I come from?
I hear you.
And we have a lot of, for me being in the construction field, I was in the construction field for a little while. I watched some of these guys came over here with one luggage. Now these guys them is multi-millionaires. I help out some of these professional Italians who doing working now in Albany, millionaires them now, and watch them come here with one luggage and they never went back.
Caller, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
The apprentice program, right?
Yeah.
I'm aware a lot of tradesmen, they move from unskilled or semi-skilled to skilled through apprenticing with skilled people. Does the government have to do a better job of regulating, of ensuring that foreign hires apprentice other people and ensuring that companies take up the apprentice at the appropriate time? And you think it'll work? You think people will follow along?
Yeah, it would work. See, you got to realize this. We have a lot of skilled men over here. We have a lot of skin because for me being in the construction field, working all the Lannis and working all of them big companies, I used to be a foreman of one of the faces on the tiling company for one of the towers in the Lannis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? And we had to help a lot of these guys. We know more than these guys. You know, they might have the book work and everything and all of this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it don't take for long for us to pick up.
Now,
what I'm trying to say, these guys, everything is money.
I got you.
That's what's happening in our country right now. That's why corruption, immigration will never get fixed because they're making a lot of money of immigration. They're bringing a lot of these cheap labor, short, little bright-skinned, curly-haired guys who work for $1 or $2 because they only getting 50 cents or 10 cents in the country. And they let's make it our country. We're so deep inside in the ditch right now because of money.
Let me ask you another question. You say we have a lot of skilled workers. I'm not doubting that. We got plenty of talent and skill, but that's not the same as certified.
Mm-hmm.
Are our laborers losing out because they don't have a certification?
We have certification. They have a lot of them. Listen to me. We have not to cut you off, Aaron, but
yeah.
We have a lot of guys who come on to the job and they leave them there and they just go see what happened is. A lot of the foreigners come over here because, see, they come with the money. They have the little bargain. They could borrow a little bit of money to buy some big tools. And then once your face look good, you go through the door. A white color guy and a black guy go through the door.
Uh-huh.
One who have a briefcase. They ain't looking at really the dark guy, you know, because they thinking, he ain't making no sense.
So I got you.
A lot of these, and I can tell you one thing before I go.
One more question.
Yes.
So I've been calling for industries to create associations and unions, right? And guilds to protect themselves. The space that you work in, is it sufficiently organized that we could have a tile layer association and a union of tile layers that will lobby to ensure that the qualifications are recognized and prioritized in the construction field and thus prioritize Bahamians in the field?
No, it's not organized. It's not organized because it gets corrupt. It gets corrupt. It's so corrupt.
I got you.
It can't get organized because it's corrupt.
I got
you. Before it's back on the money.
Yeah.
We see any they come when if they give the job to this guy, the foreigner, he priced the job for $3 million. The guy who in the back him, he getting $1 million of the deal. So what you think? It all is about money. That's what's killing us right now. And we have a lot of guys. And see, the thing is, we have these foreigners come over here and they treat us bad. They talk to us anyway. And they do us great. And we don't have no one to run to. See, mm-hmm. That's what happened in this country. We don't have the one fighting for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really killing us out there. We don't have the one fighting for us. They talk to us, they fire us, and we don't have no one to go nowhere.
I appreciate you, caller. Let me pass the next caller through again.
Thank you, caller. Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Okay, how you doing?
Right here, man.
Something we all have to look at, and you're all hitting on it, but you're not really, really analyzing it, is that if you go to a doctor and you look at all of his certificates on the wall, and you look at another fellow who practiced under him but never went to school, he may know more, a little bit more. Who are you going to trust?
Mm-hmm. One with the certificates?
Okay. You see, and it also boils down to this. I've been involved in the construction business myself, not to say the building, but some other stuff. And I found this out to be very strange. Bohemian companies, I'm serious. Bohemian companies prefer to hire an outside at $150,000 to bring in a consultant to do engineering work or something like that, and refuse to pay the Bohemian $30,000. That is a gnawbone fact. I'm not lying to you. It is the God's truth. When I heard that, I almost wept mm-hmm. to see how we treat our people in this country. And it needs to stop. Why are you going to pay a guy $150,000 when you got the same guy doing the job, or probably better, and refuse to give him $30,000?
Mm-hmm.
You're saving. And like the last caller said, it really boils down to money, but somebody's getting something somewhere. It just can't be that I'm willing to give $100,000 to this guy and refuse to give this guy $30,000. There's a middleman in there somewhere that is doing some undone work. I mean, this is happening even in government. The government is trying to put a strict on it, but it's still happening. It is still happening to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, y'all continue to have a blessed. I continue to listen.
Thank you very much, caller. I will text you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Say hotels are always hired foreign consultants for hundreds of thousands of dollars with all the perks, while me as a Bohemian got paid much less to do similar things. I'm also white, so I don't think it's a race thing. It's a U.S. is better mentality. What do you think about that?
It is. I mean, we're not going to take race out of it, but I appreciate exactly what you say. And it's like a plantation model. Why pay you more if I don't have to pay you more? But that, Nuri, this is why I encourage continuously. You have to form guilds, professional associations. You have to form unions, right? Because the foreigner getting $150,000, he may be a part of 6 or 7 or 8 international or bodies or guilds or associations in his home destiny, right? Like if he's from the U.S., in the United States of America. And these are the things that people use to justify the higher pay. We need a network of professionals, a network of industries, right? We need to create mechanisms to evaluate and value professionals so that when it comes time to hire people, we can present our candidates in the same way that foreigners are presented in the market.
Another text says, Bohemians for many years are yearning, longing to go back to the family islands. Anybody can tell you that. So I strongly disagree with the Minister of Labor and Immigration. Both the government and those well-off family islanders need to build proper, reasonable rental housing. Bohemians need proper places to live where the rent isn't the price of one or two mortgages. Start to solve those housing problems and Bohemians will return to work and live on the family island. And those Nassovians yearning to run and cut out running to run from the clutter and craziness of Nassau will also gladly go to other family islands to join their fellow family.
Yeah,
islands.
That's why I so strongly, I know I sort of stuck a pin, that's why I so strongly stuck that pin there. Mm-hmm. Of all of the things that have been said and not said about this immigration issue, that has got to be the most disingenuous of them all. Not only the Nassauvians want to go to the Family Islands, people who were forced to come to Nassau want to go back to the Family Islands. The foreigners are dying. They love it. They want to come back. They want to come back after their first vacation. We see all of the local international partnerships that have developed in Exuma, that have developed in Eleuthera, that have developed in Abaco. And I need Bahamians to understand this. Foreigners have prioritized creating the mechanisms necessary to live in your country comfortably. Take a page out of their book. Look at their model. Even if you have to create a Nassau Family Island partnership to support your movement back to the Family Island, do it. Right? Don't wait for the government to create the right conditions.
I see another caller here. Pastor caller through there. Producer. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, see, good morning. Good morning again, Aaron.
Morning.
Listen, the two previous callers, they prompted me to make this call. Let me tell you an actual thing that I actually had an investor tell me right up in my face. You know, when we work in this country, we have a pay scale here in this country that the government put out or Department of Labor, whatever, right? But then, you know, we have investors who come in here and they want to pay you the type of monies that their people in their country would be making. For instance, if you're a certified three-phase electrician and your rate of pay or your salary in their country, let's say hypothetically $40,000 a year. But here in the Bahamas, that same three-phase certified electrician may only get being paid $22,000 a year. So the thing is, many of these investors would want to pay the certified or the persons who have been working on the job for a very long time because of their skills and expertise. They will want to pay them the top dollar. But in cases, there are many cases, and you hear it time and time again, they're being told, no, you can't pay them that kind of money because this is our pay scale in the country. This is why so many Bahamians are demoralized to a point, because they know, after hearing the stories of people, for our own people telling the investor, do not pay them that kind of money, it's very demoralizing. And then yet, you have the same people coming into the country who they supposed to be training you, supposed to be passing on the skills to you. You're the one turning around training them and teaching them. They're using your tools, but yet you get the crumbs while these people are making the big money and getting the promotions. When are we going to start promoting Bahamians in this country?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a big problem for us. And I'll tell you what was even said for me, which people still do not understand, that our own is doing it to our own. How would you like for one of your own in a high position to tell an investor, that's too much money for a small little local black boy? You see, these are the things people don't know out here that's going on. These things are real and it's happening real time.
Mm-hmm.
So we got it's going to take us to fix the problem if you're depending on these politicians. Because remember, they ain't feeling what we're feeling on the ground. If you're depending on them to get you out of the light you're in, we are in a very rude awakening. We got to fix this problem for ourselves.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for taking my call.
I know we're going to the next call, right? But same thing when we look at the vacation rental Department of Inland Revenue discussion, right? The question is, who is negotiating on your behalf?
Mm-hmm.
Who is at the table? Mm-hmm. See, with this vacation rental thing, right? You would think, oh, the government is just trying to pull out as much taxes as possible. But remember, we got a whole tourism hotel industry that also intersects with this discussion. And they are negotiating on their behalf as well, right? So, they, you know, like the caller said, you got to get in there. We need guilds, associations, unions to be agitating on behalf of the worker all the time.
And plus, we need someone to educate Bahamians on what a guild is, and what an association is, what's the benefit of it.
Yeah.
You know, right now, we have an anti-union culture where they get unions again beat up left, right, and sent again disassembled.
Mm-hmm.
They're partnering now instead of negotiating on the behalf of their membership. But let's go to the next caller. I see your Dex text says, good morning. Is the claim of a labor shortage by the minister born out of the unemployment statistics in the labor force survey, or they come from something else? But go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. I call back because a brother called earlier. He talked about Anyhow, to make it simple, right? In the 1960s, right, around 68, I was working on Paradise Island, right? I work on the hotels, Britannia, and the villas.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to go to the United States to work, right? And I could have been to the United States. And I came back. When I came back from the United States, they was building another hotel.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to come back, but I didn't. I got a job someplace else. When I got this job someplace else, several places, I got a job working on a building on East Bay Street. Not so much east, just west of the bridge, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy, the engineer who was engineering Paradise Island at that time, Britannia Beach and stuff like that, right, and the villas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He came to inspect this building, and he was an American.
Mm-hmm.
When he saw me on the roof, right,
uh-huh.
shingling the roof, he was shocked, you know, and he couldn't stare me straight in the eye, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what I am saying, right, why is it that government does sign these contracts and stuff like or those heads of agreement for people to come here, build places, and don't know what kind of people here to work.
Yeah.
You're supposed to know what you have.
You're supposed to be intimately involved with the project before you grow. You got to know what's happening, the people on the ground. Yeah, you got to have officers who can get that deeply involved to ensure that this is the right fit. Because it's not just about the money. It's about protecting your people from unscrupulous employers.
That's right, boy. These people, what goes in the House of Assembly, please be joking, be kind.
Thank you
very much, Berman. But, Aaron, we need to have a discussion on this. Again, who are we creating tourism for? Who are we creating commerce for? And it doesn't necessarily seem as we are creating tourism and commerce in the Bahamas for Bahamians, first of all, to get the bulk of the benefits. It seems as if we are creating concepts where investors win,
mm-hmm.
right? Immigrant labor wins. But not necessarily Bahamian wins.
Well, now let's pause there. It appears as if immigrant labor wins. But remember, they're pinning immigrant labor versus Bahamian labor to their own benefit. That's the capitalist model. Mm. It's an illusion that the immigrant labor is winning. They may appear to be doing better than they were in their hometown. They could possibly potentially do better here, but they're still in a place of violence and victimhood because they are being pitted against the Bahamian for somebody else's benefit.
Look at where you've gone. You're so profound. We're going on a quick commercial break. This is Guy on Radio AM with CN Urien. Of course, I have Aaron Green with me. We're analyzing what was the intent of the labor minister when he said that Bahamians don't want going on Family Island, that there's a labor shortage in the Bahamas. That we need more skilled workers. They're doing their best to train more Bahamians to be competent on the job. And I say, man, are we building this Bahamas for? Is it really us? We'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama news in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio and AM with C.A. Nurin. Of course, I have Erin Green with me. And on the commercial, Erin asked me, can I see the plantation?
Through the palm trees.
Through the palm trees. And I was trying to analyze it. What does that mean, woman? Then I realized that the palm trees look so nice. It's someplace you want to vacation and live. And then when I walked through the palm trees and the nice sandy beaches, I realized, blouse. I own a plantation. And all of my labor, all of my works, all of my talent and skill is for somebody else's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I continue to press Erin. Who are we building the Bahamas for? Are we building the Bahamas for Bahamians to benefit first? And if other people could benefit, yeah, good for them. But are we benefiting?
Well, listen, I think that should be the model. We build it for Bahamians first, and then anybody who could benefit, become benefit. Especially if you're helping us build it. That, you know, that only makes sense. But I tell you what the Bahamian people are feeling. They are feeling that they're building this place for somebody else. And we know this through their actions. We know this through their actions, right? They behave like this place is not for them. So they don't care what they do in it, because you don't care what happens to me in it. Mm-hmm. I don't care what happens to you in it. I don't care how my behavior impacts your life, because you don't care how your behavior impacts my life. I'm talking from the top down, the political governance space, right? Mm-hmm. That's what people are reading. I don't understand why those who are in charge don't see the de-escalation in social behavior and social order. This is a response to this idea, right, to the sense or the feeling that we are selling paradise, but this is really a plantation that I am trapped on, mm-hmm. with the illusion of paradise.
It's not paradise. It's a plantation that we're on.
Yeah.
And that we have yet to realize what is our surroundings.
Right.
So I want to expand the conversation, because this texter says she's vexed, or he's vexed. He sells souvenirs in the downtown area, but was pushed off of Bay Street. And as you know, you and I have had previous conversation about the Bay Street product, the downtown product, mm-hmm. and how it's lacking. You see that the persons made complaints that our tourism product is lacking, mm-hmm. right? There's nothing new has changed in Bay Street for a while. It's the same tourism product we had about 20 years ago, the same tourism product we have now. It's save that there are a number of foreign entities, mm-hmm. on in the Browntown tourism product, and a lot of foreign persons' concepts are in the downtown area. We've now created a port, mm-hmm. not on downtown proper, but off of downtown, with a theme and a concept that is independent of Bay Street.
You can imagine that?
Right? Bay Street still remains the same.
But these people over the bridge are having another massive international event, and they're still advertising their venue as Paradise, as the venue Paradise Island. Mm-hmm. There's no the Bahamas anywhere.
No.
I mean, that's...
no one noticed it.
But this has been decades and decades and decades of them doing this, and people calling them out on it, right?
Because they've created their own gated community. And the gated community, they said, we are off of the main street. Don't worry about what's happening on that bay, because we are better and private. And this is where the paradise is. The rest is, well, it's a paradise, it's a plantation too. But we've seen gated communities popped up throughout the Bahamas, where they want to be separate and apart from Bahamians, mm-hmm. with the idea of saying they live in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Back to the theme, who are we creating the Bahamas for in any event when we are not benefiting? When these people now are saying that, hey, I live in the Bahamas, but I now want a special type of butler. I want a special type of cook. I want a special type of maid. I want a special type of bartender. I want a special type of contractor to fix my garden, right? Mm-hmm. And these are not necessarily Bahamians. I don't want any Bahamian on my property in the Bahamas.
I want to feel like I'm in Dubai.
I want to feel like I am
I want to feel like I built my sleepy fishing village into an international mega money-making machine with my own hands. I want to feel that way, and I want to ignore the fact that it's slave labor, mm-hmm. that drove my sleepy fishing village into a multi-million, a billion-dollar generating tourism and commerce mecca.
I could top that. They don't want any conch salad. They want a cheeseburger in paradise. They're constructing a mechanism, right, where they have fast food.
My pen ran out of ink, Cecil. And you want I? This is. I'm very critical about everything. You know why? Because then why? What are we here for? Right?
What are we here as Bahamians here for?
How do you allow somebody to come to your country that you're touting as the premier destination of the world? In fact, tourism destination of the world. In fact, you're trying to convince me that I need to sacrifice individually and collectively the resources that are supposed to be earmarked for improving Bahamians' lives to improve the tourism product. So a boy could come here and create a hotel and call it somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
So a boy could go on an island next to a resort or as a part of a resort that refuses to name the country that it's located in its advertising, and y'all gonna let the boy name it somewhere else? That boy need to go happy himself somewhere else. In fact, I would not have entertained him. Y'all would have called me the most disgusting politician on the planet because I'd have told this boy, perhaps you need to go somewhere else and think about what you can name this hotel in the Bahamas.
And mind you, I do not blame the government because I believe the government intended to make sure Bahamians secure jobs, right? But when you see that the investor are now saying that the Bahamians don't want a particular type of job, therefore I need to get a foreign entities to come and work.
I would argue
something is wrong.
I would argue with you that I no longer want to invest my career in tourism because tourism is all for naught if my government allows a hotel to name itself somewhere else. That is the literal name of the hotel, somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that, no, I don't want to work in that industry because there is no long-term future in that industry because you're not paying enough attention to it to prevent it from collapsing.
And I'll bait you some more. When the investor can speak directly to the minister and say, if you don't supply me with the foreign labor, all this millions of dollars I was planning to invest, I ain't going to invest it no more. The pressure real. The pressure tall. That means decision must be made. That means letters are coming directly to leaders and say, hey, this is what I need in order to stay here, or I plan to pull out and shut down.
Which came first? The foreign direct investor or the local service provider, all of which refuse to pay the government what it owes them?
I trump that by saying, what is more important, the foreign direct investor or the labor that you who are working in these places?
I'm going to say that it must be the labor. Of course, somebody's going to say, but Aaron, you can find labor anywhere on the free market, and that's why we're all capitalists. And I'll remind them that you are not a capitalist.